sure feel it, can't you? The March Madness being upon us with the official tournament really starting on Thursday, but a big one tonight for Colorado State as they got to beat Virginia just to get that full chance to go into the dance. And yeah, I know it's a play-in and all that stuff, but if you get this win tonight, then you know, you prove some of the doubters wrong. You prove that you belong in the main field of this tournament. So that's going to be a big one tonight. I would suggest not taking that over. I think it's going to be a defensive battle tonight. A heck of a guard for Virginia. They're great at defense. That'll be a big test for Isaiah Stevens tonight. So I'm really intrigued by this matchup. And, of course, see you in Boise State tomorrow. So that one's tomorrow night, too. So, and we're going to have all that for you. We're going to have the play-in games here. Coverage starts at 4:30 for us. Or 4:30, something like that. 4? Is it 4? And we'll have that. We'll have the play-in games tonight and tomorrow. And then full on for you guys. If you're in the office, you can't get off work to watch games, whatever, we're going to have it for you on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. So you can take us with you wherever you go and tune in and follow all things March Madness. All right, so we've got, you can still get in your bracket, the bracket challenge, up until, I guess, Thursday morning, probably, right? So if you guys want to send your emails in, we're kind of allowing, I mean, we've been filling this thing up. The brackets are starting to get filled out. There's a lot of people in it, but it's still local odds to win that $1,000. This isn't, we're not talking a million people in this thing. We're not talking 100,000 in this thing. So this is a real opportunity for you guys to get in this deal. And we couldn't do it without great sponsors like A1 Organics, Clearwater Products. You know, we're going to have our watch party coming up really soon on Friday. Looking forward to that at the Eaton Country Club at McCarty's Grill. So that's going to be a blast. But I do want to thank all these special sponsors, and you'll be hearing from them. My goodness, Summit Spa's jumping in on this. So Summit Spa's committed to excellence since 2009. They are located in Windsor and Fort Collins, and they've got a lot of awesome things happening there. They got these brand new saltwater hot tubs that are the ultimate experience in health and wellness. We have a lot of athletes that we talk to and listen to this program. Maybe you're not an athlete. It doesn't matter. This will make you feel brand new. They got fewer chemicals in these bad boys. No harsh smells. The maintenance is down to really simple science. So, you know, you guys got to check this place out. Look them up. That's Summit Spas in Windsor and Fort Collins. And they're helping you with fitness goals, too. They have fitness spas, treadmills, aqua bikes, swim spas, all of that. Just a few of the accessories available thanks to our friends over at Summit Spas. And because of them and our other sponsors on this, we were able to put together the dough to give the grand prize winner. Tanner's saying north of 1,000, so it's a little more than $1,000 just for filling out the bracket. So make sure you're in our bracket challenge. You know, you send in your email address, type it in, call in, all that. Dixon wants to know what time Friday. I guess we're going to be out there at 10. We'll be out there probably a little earlier than 10, but 10 a.m. is when all the games get started, and it'll be kind of a come and go as you please at that point. And we've been doing this. How long did Tanner say? Is this year five? Only year three? Why does it feel like? I guess it's just a tradition. It's a tradition now, and it's become a huge thing for us. So it feels like we've been doing it for a lifetime because it's a blast. We get to know a lot of the people that come out. A lot of great listeners come out, hang out. It's going to be exciting. So we'd love to see you come out, hang out with us on Friday for this March Madness challenge. For the March Madness watch party. The challenge begins now. Have you filled out your bracket yet, or do you wait until the play ends? Like, it might mentally help you.
Yeah, I need to see these 8 teams in action and really get a feel for them, get a feel for how the tournament's going to go. We're going to get a lot of close games, a lot of blowouts, a lot of buzzer beaters, crazy stuff. What's the officiating going to look like early on? And then, yeah, probably late Wednesday night I will commence my selection.
Well, and you can edit it, too. So I filled mine out, but I'm going to probably go through and edit it a bit because it doesn't matter if you pick you can't really pick CSU or whatever because they're going to have them listed, CSU, Virginia, unless you want to pick that team to go past the first round of this thing. So, you know, I've filled it out just for my own brain so I have it done because the worst thing you want to do is 10:01 on Thursday and you didn't fill it out. So I have it all filled out here. I don't know if I'm 100% in on it just yet, but you know, there's a lot of matchups here that I'm very intrigued by, will be interesting. You know, I know Tanner's giving me crap because I'm looking at the Mount West teams. I don't know. Our poll question today is following up from yesterday, thanks to Chipper's Lanes. You know, that do you, over under Mount West teams getting in, and I put it at 3 because I think that makes it complicated. I'm not so sure. I think they need to. Even just the first round would be good, but it's how many will survive the weekend. So really it's winning, you know, round one and round two. Let's read a couple of texts coming in. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Got you in there, Andy, sending the email address in. Flying Dutchman, I believe, is in. Are you just going to take James Madison to win the whole thing? Oh, you think? We might. Wouldn't that be crazy? Not a lot of people are going to be doing that. You know, sometimes it's those crazy ones that get you. Is the CSU game going over or under 121.5? Is this game really going to be that boring? Virginia's defense is really good, and CSU struggles to shoot the three. Is he going to go over 121, though, right? You go to get to 122? Well, I mean,
like what?
It's like 60.
Evened out 70 points each, something like that?
Yeah.
65 to 70?
Yeah, something like that. So
just
it'd be
it's a
61.
Good defensive game doesn't mean it's boring.
61 apiece, at least, you got to have. Keep and pace.
I'm sure there's people out there that love good defense.
I do. I like it when it's actually good defense and not just a lot of bricks. And you see that in college sports a lot, but Virginia's actually that good at defense. So maybe this is the game where suddenly CSU gets that three-point shooting going and they wake up. It kind of woke up a little bit in the Mountain West tournament. They had some big nights. But this, I imagine it's going to be a low-scoring game, but I think they got to score. Somebody's got to score in the 70s, right? CSU is a, what are they, a 1.5-point favorite? Two now? It's two?
2.5.
2.5-point favorite? I think they just think this is going to be one of those sloppy defensive games, a lot of turnovers, a lot of bad shots because they're contested shots. I guess. Big Hub says, I hope you didn't have Texas losing in the first round. I don't want to give that away yet, Angel. I'm not comfortable with it yet. Listen, I want to be the guy that says I was with CSU all the way and they went far, but I'm telling you, the last 2 months watching Colorado State has given me pause. You know, I think they can get past tonight. But I don't know, what they do next because, you know, they'd be going up against Texas, and that's in Charlotte. They'd play that. They'd have to get on a flight pretty quickly, wouldn't they? As soon as that game's over. I mean, so they've been going. That's the other thing you got to look at in March Madness. What's the travel situation look like for a lot of these teams? You know, I think Kevin Lytle was telling the Good Morning NoCo fellas that they got on a plane pretty much right after their game, and they didn't get back in town until like Sunday early morning, like 1 or 2 in the morning. Probably go rest, do whatever, and then they get together for the watch party and all that stuff. It's pretty much nonstop. Once you get in, once the tournament is over, the Mount West tournament is over, it's nonstop for these teams. So that is a factor, and that's part of the reason why you do see upsets, Angels. It's not a conventional style. You know, in the regular season, you're used to playing, you know, some conferences play on Tuesdays and Thursdays or Tuesdays and Saturdays or whatever. It's basically once the conference schedule or conference tournament starts to this, it's unlike anything you were preparing for throughout the year. That's why we do say early in the year in the non-con schedule, when you're playing in tournaments and you do a lot of tournament play, that's why it's beneficial because you're used to going bam, bam, bam and playing at odd times. So that's why you do it. I don't know if it ever fully prepares you for the life that is March Madness or conference tournament play transition to March Madness. That's a factor you have to look at. I think you answered the poll question yesterday, so we asked it officially today. You're not thinking that over feels pretty strong with the Mount West surviving this weekend. I don't know how I feel either. It's just the matchups are so tough. But that's the thing. They got to prove it. There's only one way to shut up the doubters and to give off that, that, you know, to put out there that, hey, if the Mountain West gets a bunch of teams in, they're going to go do something with it. Well, they got six teams in. I don't know. It's going to be tough for CSU to advance tonight. And then Boise State, again, so you could have two teams out already before this thing actually starts, and we could be down to four Mountain West teams. There's a realistic shot of that. Because CU, aside from the Pac-12 championship, they've got to be one of the hottest teams in college basketball right now. Would you agree?
Yeah, with the way they kind of found themselves at the end of the year, getting healthy, getting all their guys back officially now in the tournament. Yeah, I think they're one of those trendy teams.
I think they could beat Boise State tomorrow. And then if CSU can't handle Virginia tonight, which again, I think that's not a gimme at all. A lot of people saying they love the matchup. They're going to slow it down. And Virginia's a good team. I mean, they had a good resume, where I think a lot of Virginia fans are probably shocked that they're in this game tonight.
No, and Virginia's a program that's had a lot of trips to March Madness. At least their coach has experience in coaching these types of games. And, you know, they feel a little disrespected as well. And, you know, it's the ACC. It's one of those top Power 5 conferences in terms of college basketball.
Not many play-in teams feel good about being a play-in team. I think as soon as you see that you're in, and I don't know, it might depend on who you are and what your expectations were, there's either a sense of relief right off the bat, met with, really? We're put in the play-in game? Or the opposite is, oh, we got in! And then, you know, or we just got in the play-in game, and then, you know, 6 hours later, your coach maybe puts it in perspective, and it's like, hey, we're still in. We're still in this thing. Tad Boyle, you know, he was so pumped as soon as they just announced that CU was in the play-in, because it did come down to every single game. It came down to it. CSU, too. They wouldn't have handled Nevada. They wouldn't be in this thing. And that's how it was with CU. If CU didn't go on into the Pac-12 championship, they wouldn't be dancing either. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. And listen, I don't know if you feel this way, but I think a lot of CSU fans almost feel like all the Mountain West teams are home teams right now. Because that, even if CSU gets knocked out tonight, the Mountain West going on and doing big things will only give confidence to the committee in the following years. That they're only going to look at that and go, we might have shafted them this year. Who knows? They won't admit that. But we might have given them too low, you know, collectively too low of a seed. But maybe we won't make that mistake again next year. They're proving that, hey, that's legitimate competition throughout college basketball. The Mountain West, they have some of the best coaches. They have some of the top players on a yearly basis. But if they all go out and nobody makes it past the first round, Angel, then you're not, that's going to go back to the same old next year. Great, you had a great non-conference season in November and December, and then your conference beat each other up. Great. You do that every year, and we put you guys in, and nothing ever happens. So it's huge. I mean, tonight's a big night for CSU. CSU represents all of the Mountain West doing this. Flying Dutchman says Virginia beat tournament teams, Florida, Texas A&M, NC State, and Clemson. Yeah, I think there's a case to be made for Virginia just as much as CSU as to why you were placed in the play-in game. But it's like we went over yesterday. I'm not the guy that gets in and just complains about it that much. You know, maybe there was an initial shock of the play-in, but there's a lot of worthy teams. There's a lot of worthy teams that are not playing in this thing. And there's a lot of teams that maybe shouldn't quite be in this deal, but it's every year. And until they don't have a bulletproof system, there's no flawless system for this. You can argue about net rankings and KenPom ratings and quad one wins and all that stuff. You can argue about it until you're blue in the face, but this happens every single year. This isn't just an isolated thing to the Mountain West. And I get it. They want the power teams in from the power conferences, that they're going to get the benefit of the doubt, the Michigan States. But I wouldn't be shocked if Michigan State goes on a run. Izzo's probably, and his crew are probably upset that everyone's saying they shouldn't be in this thing. They might come in with a little extra motivation too. Don't you think that it does factor in how you handle it once you're in? Maybe you're a team that didn't deserve it, but then you go on and you survive the first weekend. You've dispelled that. Don't you think some of that goes into the committee's thought process when they're looking at teams and conferences that really bring it every year and go, yeah, maybe they're on the bubble or maybe they shouldn't quite be in, but history shows that if they're in, they're going to go do something.
I mean, I don't know how much history really plays into it because they left Rick Pitino out. You know, you're going to bring in Tad Boyle and, you know, UNC and Duke, and then you're going to bring in Michigan State with Izzo and these top coaches just because, oh, yeah, they're great coaches, so we want to see them here. Well, that doesn't apply for Rick Pitino, who was campaigning hard the last 2 weeks to get in.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But what was Pitino's year last year like? I think there's a difference between your pedigree as a coach over your career as opposed to recent success in the tournament or recent, you know, whether that's Michigan State or what. And I don't know what Michigan State did last year. I don't have that on me. I think didn't they get knocked out fairly early? But, you know, they do have success when they get in there. Izzo's one of the great coaches. But I think recency stuff hits like, hey, that's great that San Diego State went to the championship, but what did the rest of the Mountain West do? Good. Okay, we gave the Aztecs a 5 seed. They're a team that has proven they can go far in this. Dutcher's shown based off of last year that he can get his guys ready for this kind of a tournament.
Michigan State last year beat number 10 USC in the first round, beat number 2 Marquette in the second round, and lost by 5 to 3-seeded Kansas State in the Sweet 16.
So I think those kind of things do hit. You know, if you were bad for a while, you know, maybe you're a great coach, but you've had a couple of bad runs, you know, you're not going to get that benefit of the doubt. I think that goes into it. I don't think it's all science. They don't have it down to an exact science with net rankings and all that. That's not 100% why they went to it. That's why Pitino went off and said, I don't want to hear anything about that, because if you're basing it off of net and you're basing it off of KenPom, then we should be rolling. We should be in this thing. So it's not... I think it's a culmination. It's a bunch of different things that factor in, but there is, bottom line, there is no exact science. It's human beings. You have human beings ultimately with the say. And that's what makes this thing more difficult. Let's see. Dixon texting in with the turnover and the transfer portal. Past historically actually doesn't mean much and probably shouldn't. I it depends on how deep you're looking into it. You know, did the Mountain West have a lot of turnover as far as transfers go last year? Sure. Utah State, I don't think they had any buckets on this team this year from last year. But look what they went and did. They had a phenomenal season. But I still think that if you go out and you show up as a Mountain West conference, that will be something that, all right, that's a legitimate conference. I know you have to weigh the transfer portal and all that stuff, but I also think that they're going to look at the coaches. And the coach's ability to go wash, rinse, or repeat. Like, for example, if CSU gets back into the, you know, successful again next year without Isaiah Stevens and a handful of their guys, but they're really good, then I think the reputation starts to pick up. Like, hey, CSU's built a foundation there. That's a base. Even if they lose a lot of guys to transfer portal or to the NBA or whatever, or graduation, or just out of eligibility, that's still a team that churns it out. And if they go out and win 23 games next year, 22 games, then yeah, that is a proving point each and every year for this conference. Texter says, this isn't like the NBA or professional sports. We have basically the same rosters. Correct. But the NBA doesn't also have to worry about at-large and all that stuff. It's just, what does your record tell us? Your record will tell everything. That will put you in your spot. And until you get to something like that, which is impossible with the amount of teams, you're always going to have this. It's always going to be up for, you know, debate, room for interpretation. And I absolutely do think that the committee looks at history, success, overall conference play. I think those are things that come in. Now, if you're a 15-win team, you know, obviously it's out the door, but you got to be successful. And if you're on the bubble, I think when those bubble teams come up, you start looking at, okay, who has a recent history of some success in this thing? Maybe not, but how else are they doing it? How else does that explain some of these teams getting in? How else does that explain, you know, Michigan State? A lot of people argue Michigan State getting in, which is all the more reason I think they're going to be motivated and at least make somewhat of a push. I don't know how deep, but again, first step is getting in. Second step is, can we win? If you're a play-in team, can you just prove that you belong? And then I think the next one is, if you could just win a first-round game, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal, just a first round. But surviving the weekend, that's when you've separated yourself. as a team that can show up in the biggest moments and take advantage of a strange setup. Because it is a strange setup. As exciting as it is, this is unlike anything that these guys are doing throughout the course of the year. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online, fmsbank.com/KFKA. I guess this is good because it was a top 10 play. It was an awesome play. Anthony Edwards in the dunk that he had. Was it really a dunk, though, or did he just kind of throw it in? Anthony Edwards, that was a powerful play that rocked social media last night. And hey, I'm a fan of it. Minnesota keeps winning without Carl Anthony Towns. Hopefully that doesn't continue tonight. They're on a back-to-back, though. Crazy dunk. A lot of talk about Minnesota. A lot of talk about Anthony Edwards, and rightfully so. He's a tremendous player. He's one of the better players in the league. But they got the back-to-back against the Nuggets tonight. And that's my bad and not my ugly. My bad is that all these games tonight that are pretty significant, Nuggets, Timberwolves, Avalanche taking on the Blues, and then CSU and Virginia, they're all right around the same time. I think the Avs play at 6. Nuggets play at 7. And then you got CSU and Virginia at 7. So it's just bad, but it's good. It's great that you have a bunch of awesome games that mean a lot on a Tuesday night. But it also kind of sucks because, you know, you're going to be clicking back and forth between, you know, unless you have multiple TVs or the iPad fired up or get it up on your phone, whatever. The ugly to me, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later on in the show, Angel, but I sent you the clip from Tom Crean. I'm not saying it's ugly what he said, and I'm not saying it's ugly that teams are avoiding going into the NIT. I'm kind of just saying it's ugly how pissed off Tom Crean got about it. Just kind of fuming about, okay, if you have players that don't want to go, fine, don't let them go. If you have coaches that don't want to coach because they want to get busy recruiting, great. But you play when you can. Almost kind of like the coaches don't matter, the top players don't matter. The coaches are, the reason some of these coaches don't go to this thing, Angel, is because, all right, we're not elite. How do we become elite? I need to be focused on recruiting. I need to be focused on that right now, as opposed to just going and playing out in these, again, their tournaments, whatever. If you want to go play, I have no problem with it. But I also have no problem with it if you choose to say, hey, we need to be focusing on getting better next year because we would like, for UNC, I know they're going to the CBI, but we would like to put ourselves in the best position to win the Big Sky Conference tournament next year so we can get in on this. So I'm not going to be watching NIT stuff, CBI stuff. Why? Because I have March Madness in front of me. I have the Nuggets making a run to try to secure a one seed. You have the Colorado Avalanche that certainly look like they're poised to make another Stanley Cup run. I don't have time in my brain to watch secondary tournaments. So I don't fault teams for not doing it. I don't fault you for doing it. If you want to play more basketball, great. But it's like UNC, I know that, you know, obviously, Day-Day Reeves has already entered the transfer portal. He won't be playing in the CBI. I haven't heard yet about St. Thomas. I don't know yet. I don't know if that came out on social media just yet. And I was told that, like, Riley Abercrombie, like, he's got some commitment in Australia as far as basketball goes that he could have waived for March Madness, but I don't know if he's going to waive it for this. I haven't heard. But I know Day-Day's out. So it's, you know, what's your roster look like? You know, are you just going to assemble a bunch of guys that may or may not be there, may or may not be part of your team? So Crean's basically like, hey, you're in basketball, you're in college basketball, do it. But I don't really fault the coaches or the organization if they decide not to. And again, the CBI, you have to pay. Do you have to pay to get in the NIT? You got to pay. So it's easy for Crean to say, where was he coaching? Indiana or Indiana State? And where else before that? He was at a decent, I can't remember the school. Oh, Georgia. He was a basketball coach for Georgia. It's easy for those teams to say, hey, let's throw some dollars at it. You know, Coach Smiley, God bless him. I love that man. They're trying to raise the funds. He's out on social media talking about it, too. So it's still money. It's still something big that you have to work to when you could be focusing that time doing something else. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. That's the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.
Want to win $1,000 this year? Keep it here to find out how to enter KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by Summit Spas Windsor and Fort Collins.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I don't know if you guys knew that Lemons Heating and Cooling can also do your duct cleaning as well. What are you guys breathing in? It's worth looking into. They can get out there, clean that bad boy up. Stuff that you don't even, you're not seeing it, but you're breathing it. Lemons Heating and Cooling, heating, air conditioning, and yes, duct cleaning. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Dixon says, it's a move another TV into the living room kind of night. Yeah, it feels like it. It's a big one. It's a big night. Out of 362 teams in Division I basketball, Virginia is 362 in pace of play. Going to be a snooze fest tonight. Hopefully CSU can get out and run. Kind of remind, well, I guess, what was it, Ivy? Steve Ivy was telling us yesterday, is they're kind of like Air Force in that way. Slow things down, try to get you to play. I remember the old Utah teams from like 10 years ago. That's what they want to do. Take you out of who you are. Slow it down. Virginia's going to milk as much clock as possible tonight. That shot clock's going to go all the way down. So if you take an over, I think you'd be sweating it tonight. But it could be a snooze fest. But like you said, I don't know if it's a defensive game, is that always a snooze fest? Pace of play is the thing that gets you. Pace of play, and then if you add a ton of foul calls onto that, yeah, it won't really feel like a basketball game.
Do we know who's calling the game?
I don't know. Probably
if it's Kevin Harlan, it shouldn't be.
Oh, calling.
It should be entertaining.
I honestly don't know.
He could make paint drying an event.
Is that on True TV tonight?
Yes, both games.
I do love how like all these different networks, just, what is it, True TV, TBS,
TNT,
CBS, they just, it's all over. There's games all the time. It's just awesome. It feels like a college football Saturday where you just got tons of options to watch on channels that you probably subscribe to. Some of you don't, but yeah, I love it. I don't know who's calling it, though. We'll see. No, this is a big one. It's a big one for CSU. I mean, how much of a letdown, Angel, is it for the Rams if they lose this game tonight? I mean, do you walk away going, you know what, we got in? Or do you go, that's a big disappointment when you were 12-1 to start the season and you thought, when you were 12-1 in non-con play and you beat New Mexico, I think a lot of people were thinking CSU is going to run away with this. Maybe not run away with this thing, but win this thing. I think we all thought the Mount West was going to be good. I don't think we realized it was going to be like this, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, we compared it to how much, where does it compare in terms of success to the 2021 team?
Yeah.
The team that also lost in the first round, and I get it, it's a game difference. You're not versus, it's first round versus play-in game, but it would still look as you lost the first game of your tournament play.
Yeah, in 5 years, do you look back and just go, he went dancing? Nico Medved went dancing. You don't really look at it as, oh, it's a play-in. Mm-hmm. I think that's when people talk about Jeff Linder. We say they were a March Madness team, but it was a play-in, and they lost in the play-in. But you're still getting in.
It's like that prom when they first start playing the music, and there's like five people out on the floor. And then you wait 30 minutes, and everyone's on the dance floor. It's like, oh, now we're dancing.
So they were out there when nobody wanted to be out there?
Yeah, I mean, someone's got to get it started.
That's how you're going to view. Well, that's the way to look at it with the glass half full, is that, yeah, it's the dance.
We're dressed up.
You're the old couple that jumped out there and said, hey, we're going to get this started because all the youngsters don't realize they're too shy to get out there.
Sure.
Still the dance. All right. I think it'd be a disappointment, though, because, again, Isaiah Stevens being the great player that he is, I don't even know if it's arguable anymore. He's the best Colorado State men's basketball player to ever do it. And to show for it, you got one trip to the big dance and lost to Michigan in the first round, and then you got one trip to the play-in game and lost to Virginia. I think it'd be a pretty disappointing situation for Colorado State tonight, and not to try to put any more pressure on this team, because it sounds like it's going to be a close game, and Virginia's a good team. You know, as one of our texters pointed out, the teams that they beat, Florida, Texas A&M, NC State, and Clemson. And those are no pushover teams. So this is the bad part about the Mount West, is where they were put as far as seeding goes. They're all going to go up against teams that could have very well beat them in the regular season. And you wouldn't have batted an eye at that. But here we go. It's a prove-it type of game for Colorado State. I'm excited about it. Angel, it's worth kind of diving back into. We've been so deep into the college basketball stuff, and we were Thursday and Friday as well. But the NFL draft, quarterback watch, a lot of mocks have Minnesota getting silly and moving up in this thing. I saw one today that has them trading up in the draft with the Chargers so that they could take a quarterback there. That they would package, that Minnesota would package their 11th pick and 20th, because they have two picks in the first round, that they would package their 11th pick and 23rd pick to move up and select J.J. McCarthy at number 5. So this latest mock draft that I have is really, really fascinating, because it's got, well, the obvious, it's got Caleb Williams going to the Bears, Jaden Daniels going to Washington, Drake May to the Patriots, the Cardinals taking the first non-quarterback, Marvin Harrison Jr., Minnesota trading up to go get J.J. McCarthy, and then no other quarterbacks for a while, has the Broncos taking at 12, Terrion Arnold, the corner out of Alabama, and you would have basically what? Twice in the last 4 years where you took an Alabama cornerback around the top 10. You'd have your two corners, both from Alabama. How about that?
Yeah, I don't think, obviously they weren't teammates at any point.
No.
I'm interested in that 5-6 spot. Obviously the Vikings are where a lot of people are looking at a team that might be moving up. I know the Giants have met and did an interview with McCarthy within the last couple of days. Is that, I still don't know if they're going to take a quarterback. Like, it doesn't, if you're going to conduct an interview, it seems maybe you're leaning that way. But it seems like McCarthy right now is being pegged as that fourth guy off the board, and it's either 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Or does somebody jump up to 4 with Arizona?
And I just don't know that the Broncos have enough firepower to move up there unless they're willing to part ways with both the 12th pick and next year's first pick, which, Angel, that does make it appealing to want to work with the Broncos. You know why? Because you and I, we're not smarter than the NFL execs. They also know that the Broncos are in tank mode. So if you trade me 12 and your first-round pick next year, based on the trajectory of what you're doing, you're probably going to have a top 5, 10 at least draft pick. So it's not appealing. Like, let's just, for the sake of argument, let's say that, you know, Tampa Bay had a top 10 pick and then they were to offer you their future first rounder next year. Well, that's not as appealing because Tampa Bay is probably going to be a playoff team. So it's not as appealing?
Maybe with Atlanta in their division now.
Okay, let's say the Lions or the Bills or whatever, a playoff team. If they had a top 10, it's not appealing to offer you a first rounder next year. But if I see that you're the Broncos, and regardless of what you do, if you take a quarterback in the first, you're probably still going to be in tank mode. You probably still won't see that rookie quarterback play the first few games until maybe the season is lost. And then it's like, just throw him out there. Let him learn by, you know, trial by fire kind of deal. So that's the only thing that I could see them getting aggressive with. I mean, again, Pat Surtain. They got, like, what are the bargaining chips for the Broncos? 12, future first rounder, and Pat Surtain, right? That's it.
Yep.
That's all they got. Can they use that or a portion of that to move up into the top 5? Because that's where you got to go if you want J.J. McCarthy. Bo Nix is going to be out of the first round. But then that becomes an issue, too, because you don't have a second round. But this has changed a little bit. The landscape of this has changed. I did see that Michael Penix Jr. would go, where did I?
This
31. You have it at 31?
Yeah.
From CBS?
Yep. They mock trade with the 49ers up to 31. So that would be Raiders trading out of the second round late first to get Michael Penix.
Get kind of a Lamar Jackson kind of thing. Take him late. He's the one we're not talking about as much compared to the other quarterbacks, and maybe he goes on to do something. Not to compare the two players, but the situation. Did you agree with this? With the 21st pick in the draft, the Miami Dolphins would select 21st Brock Bowers? That tight end Brock Bowers out of Georgia would drop all the way to 21st?
It's not crazy to imagine, because you have your top three wide receivers. You have your top cornerbacks. Lots of O-linemen and defensive linemen in there. So I could see the tight end position dropping. You know, Brock Bowers is probably number one in this class. So I could see it. I'd probably be okay with it if the Dolphins did that.
Well, that's my...
I prefer O-linemen, but, you know...
He could be...
I'm not a GM.
He could be a game-changing tight end.
He could be.
And that's what the question would be for the Broncos, is at 12, Brock Bowers... Why has his stock dropped so much? I mean,
I don't know if it's the stock dropping, because he's been looked at as a, yeah, that's going to be a dude in the NFL, you know, in the last couple of years at Georgia. And we know the importance that a tight end can play in an offense if you use him in a Kittle or a Kelsey type of way. I think it's just the top heaviness of the trenches in this draft.
The trenches.
There's a lot of linemen on both sides.
Big Hub says, so how bad is his injury? Is it major? I thought it was just like a little hiccup kind of deal. Is that a concern? I mean, not concerned enough to drop him out of the top 20 or so, but I guess the top 10. And you're right, the O-linemen and a couple of edge rushers, along with the quarterbacks, are supposed to go early. All right, 47 after the hour, Angel. We got to get out of here. We're late again. Surprise. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Chippers Lanes, 2454 West, poll question of the day. Over or under three teams surviving past the weekend in the Mountain West Conference? Not winning a first-round game. Surviving past the weekend, because I think that's when you make noise. That's when you start to tell the world, tell the committee, tell the NCAA that, hey, this conference is legit. It's going to be tough, though. But again, that's the poll question. Your thoughts on it. And we got a lot of people chiming in. Again, I got the poll question up at my X account, at Hull Show. 62.5% saying over. On this one. That's just tough, man. Because, I mean, you look at it, San Diego State and UAB, I do think that they're going to get past. I think they'll get past it, but like you said, Angel, that's one that could get you. And then if they get past that, it's the winner between Auburn and Yale, and that'll be a difficult task. But I think San Diego State has a legitimate shot of getting past. And let's get into it. We'll break into it. The first round matchups are going to be key for the Mountain West Conference. 8 minutes until the top of the hour. Quick break coming up. I'll wrap up hour number one. We got the top story of the day. Let's get into it. CSU versus Virginia. A look at that matchup and so much more. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Want to win $1,000 this year? Keep it here to find out how to enter KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by Summit Spas Windsor and Fort Collins.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
Time flies when you're having fun, man. We just busted through that clock. That's when you know it was a great first hour. In the second hour, top story of the day, more on Virginia-CSU matchup, Tom Crean's comments on the NIT and all that stuff. Mike Brohard will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Top story of the day, coming up next.